Hi, everyone. Welcome to episode 14 and the season one finale of Who We Are. If you'd like to keep up with people's stories between seasons, I'll be taking photos of people I meet on beautifulhello.com. Today's episode covers adult themes. And if you'd like more info before listening, check out the episode post on whoweare.fm.
It was still kind of social at that point, but I mean, looking back, even well before that, I can see instances, you know, where I guess I have, you know, what one would call an addictive personality.
Like what? What do you recognize in your life as being like that?
This is just one example, but my best friend in high school and I heard somewhere that you could get high off of nutmeg.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know. If that's true, we definitely didn't go about it the right way.
That's the voice of Cecilia. It's an alias, of course. And at this point in her timeline, she's in high school, after hours, and she and a friend are experimenting.
So we each got one of those little, ground nutmeg containers.
Each of those containers went into a mug of tea.
And of course, it was gross and sludgy and terrible. And I managed to choke all mine down, and she was like halfway through hers, and she's like, I can't do this. This is disgusting. And so I take her mug and finish that off too, you know, just in case. Like, I didn't want to waste it. Just things like that, like that, looking back where I am now, I can be like, oh, that's not normal. That just in case, maybe you'll get some kind of feeling of getting outside of myself, that I'm just going to chug a bunch of nutmeg.
And so what happened after the nutmeg?
Well, I mean, it caused severe intestinal distress the next day.
Sounds like a great time.
Yeah, it was so great. But yeah, I mean, so just, you know, not all of the things in the past are as entertaining as that. But, you know, just little things like that, we're looking back and can see like, oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Today we're diving into a story that really caught my eye. It was the last sentence of this particular story submission that I read.
I'm still personally amazed that a hot mess of a liberal arts major turned entrepreneur somehow turned into a bookkeeper in an office with fancy glass walls.
Now, that doesn't sound that intriguing. Until you realize that by entrepreneur, Cecilia means a drug dealer for 7 years. From Bardic, you're listening to Who We Are, podcast about the extraordinary lives of everyday people. I'm Carissa Weiser. Yes, today we're exploring the life of Cecilia from Maryland, whose life, I suppose, is best described by a pickle.
You know, I mean, I'm an addict and an alcoholic, so once I've flipped this switch, I can't turn it back off. This is a really cheesy analogy, but it's one I've heard a lot. It's like you're a cucumber, and once you've been pickled, you can't go back to being a cucumber again, if that makes any sense.
Once you hear today's story, you'll see that it really does make sense. We'll talk about a lot of things, but right off the bat, I had to know, what was so appealing about dealing drugs?
It defined so much of how I looked at myself, you know, because I was like, wow, like here's something I'm really good at.
Which begs the question, what was she bad at doing? Because for Cecilia, this goes way beyond simple human nature of enjoying success. Let's start in college. Cecilia is studying women's studies with a minor in religious studies.
I guess it was just after that generation where there was that mindset of, well, as long as you have a college degree, you'll definitely get a job. Like, it doesn't matter what it's in.
And like a lot of people, she was really disappointed to find that that was actually not the case when it came time to graduate. So she's looking in the paper for a job, stumbles across what turns out to be a door-to-door canvassing job for an environmental nonprofit.
It was interesting, at times rewarding, and always extremely stressful.
What made it so stressful?
One, just knocking on someone's door unannounced. And then two, asking complete strangers for money to save the world, you know? And then of course we also had quotas, you know, we had to make a certain amount over a certain period or else we were essentially fired, I guess.
Cecilia made it there for a little over a year and then accidentally got fired?
I needed to take a friend of mine to the hospital. My boss wouldn't let me go. Yeah. You know, I still had friends that worked there. And so afterwards, I remember them saying, yeah, you know, the boss just came out and was like, I think I just fired her. Like, so I think we were both kind of not expecting any of that to happen.
And so her first job is just not a great experience. And the job scene continues to be not great from there. Cecilia works for a grocery store chain as a cashier and then a barista, but she keeps running into the same issues.
Because I, at that time, had difficulty showing up on time or calling out too many times. You know, my priorities were in a different place.
Things started becoming increasingly complicated and a little confusing as these various jobs petered out one after the other. Meanwhile, this side business in the world of dealing drugs was growing and booming.
I was making runs for people, which meant that, you know, I knew someone that had pot because that was the main thing I was buying. And I would collect money from other people that wanted it, and then I would go and get it, and that would allow me to get a slightly larger quantity, which meant I could get it for a slightly lower price, which meant that, you know, I could get a little extra for myself, which was sort of an unspoken, like, understanding.
This is about the time Cecilia's fired from the coffee shop, and we start to see the contrast between these unsuccessful jobs and this new venture that seems to work. It's not just that it's successful. It's finding a place to belong, except it's not exactly legal.
The guy I was picking up from said, hey, you're jobless and you seem to know a lot of people. How about I confront you a little bit and see where it goes?
So you started out small?
I think it started like an ounce. Eventually, I got to the point where I was able to buy it outright. Gradually, was able to buy more and more. You know, at the end, I was probably maybe buying like 1 to 2 pounds every couple weeks or something.
Cecilia's two main addictions were alcohol and marijuana. She only sold pot, but that's not all that she tried.
You know, various pills when they, you know, came across the table. I did ecstasy sometimes, cocaine. I smoked crack once, and fortunately I hated it. That was a weird night. Well, obviously. I was with some friends, and, you know, two of them were like shooting heroin like between their toes, and there was also crack, and I'd never done either. And I was like, well, you know, I feel like the responsible decision is to just smoke some crack. I don't need to shoot heroin. You know, one thing at a time.
That's the responsible thing to do.
Totally. Oh my God. And various psychedelics. So yeah, I guess that's my repertoire.
Wow. Did you, through all of this, did you feel like in the times that you were sober within that, did you feel like you were in control, or were you aware that things were really getting out of control, but you just couldn't stop the ball from rolling?
No, you know what? I think I thought I was in control like the whole time. It was how I defined myself, honestly. Like, I was, you know, this pot dealer. To me, it was how my life stayed in control.
But isn't the deep world of drugs just the opposite of being in control? I feel like in movies, it's always dangerous and stressful, something the protagonist often gets into because they have no other source of income. It's a job, but the quote-unquote good guys don't validate it as such because it's against the law. But I'm trying to understand Cecilia, who at the time is knee-deep into it. And to her, it does feel like a real job, like a business. And for anyone who started their own business, cash flow feels kind of awesome. And it's one measure of success.
I mean, for close to 7 years, that was my sole source of income. I was paying my rent with it. I, you know, bought a car off Craigslist with it.
So in her mind, Cecilia isn't unemployed. She has a job for once that's lasting more than a couple years.
When you started really getting in the throes of selling drugs, did you feel like you were good at it?
Yeah. I mean, a lot of lower level pot dealers, you know, don't really make that much money because it's not like a super profitable product. And, you know, so much of the time you're using your own supply.
Of course, it's not just a simple walk in the park. And there are reasons why Cecilia is no longer in the scene.
You know, as things progress, you know, and my like drinking got worse, my judgment wasn't as great. I wasn't as discerning about who or how I would get new customers. You know, I would have people coming to my door like 10 times a day. So like, I mean, I would have like neighbors be like, hey, what's going on? Like, you know, and then I'd start like selling to them and, you know, and that actually got me into some unsavory situations.
It wasn't like a gang movie or anything. It's still really dangerous, and yet not a wake-up call. Her apartment was broken into more than once.
One of the times, like, they got, like, pretty much, like, literally everything. And at that point, I wasn't actually buying my own stuff yet. I was getting it, you know, fronted to me and then, like, paying it back.
At this point, Cecilia's boss gives her an out. He tells her if she doesn't want to do it anymore, that's fine. But she doesn't quit.
It was the principle of the thing. Like, I had to make it back, you know? I don't know.
And from there, things just continue to spiral.
This is an example of, like, my progressively poorer judgment.
There's a knock on the door. Cecilia goes to answer it. And in the doorway, standing one of her previous customers. And he's not happy. He's also a minor. And then he pulls out a gun.
In the building I was living at the time, I had found this like weird rusted axe in the basement that I just randomly kept for no reason. And so I like pulled that out instead. And like, fortunately that scared him and he ran away because I certainly wouldn't have wanted to use it. If it had come to that, you know, fine. Just, yeah. I mean, and then another time, a neighbor's friend's friend basically choked me out in my apartment and robbed me. Yeah, so, you know, it was good. It was good times.
I mean, I have to ask, why stay in this lifestyle? Why stay?
I mean, that's how I made my money. It wasn't necessarily the social life that I wanted, and I also couldn't really decide to not engage in it if I didn't want to.
Why do you think that was?
I don't know. I kind of had this weird, some kind of combination between, like, a good work ethic combined with not wanting to disappoint people. I would see customers even when I didn't feel like it. Like, even if I just wanted to be left alone, like if someone, you know, called and was like, hey, can I come by? Like, I never felt like I had time to myself, even though I also never left the house.
Like I said before, Cecilia still felt like she had a good grip on everything in her life. The alcoholism and addiction to marijuana each provided two different things for her.
I don't know. I kind of equate like alcohol with like being with like this really, in like this really tempestuous, like passionate, but kind of abusive relationship. And then pot being like this weird, really comforting, but also codependent best friend.
So what's the point of all this? Well, for one, it's Cecilia's story, and that means that it matters. Whatever our personal opinions of drugs and alcohol may be, it's a season that contributes to who Cecilia is now. Today she's sober, and she's employed. And that journey getting there is just as complex as her spiral into these issues was in the first place.
During all these other jobs, I was also, you know, doing stuff with a temp agency off and on. I was placed with a tax prep company and did pretty well at it and liked it. And they actually bought my contract from the temp agency. And so between that and like, you know, selling drugs for a long time with other people's money and like not messing it up, I was like, oh, I guess I'm good with people's money. I should go to school for accounting. And so I did, with my drug money.
It's the managing and working on money side that brought Cecilia into the world of tax prep and then bookkeeping and assisting in human resources. It was the first of many steps that led Cecilia into sobriety.
I think like comforting is more like how I would describe it, you know, because my life was so like tumultuous and crazy from, you know, the selling, but also just my own wrestling with addiction, that like here was something that was black and white that makes sense. Either you're doing this right or you're not.
Even still, Cecilia continues drinking too much, smoking pot, and selling drugs after hours.
It's like an everyday, essentially all day affair. I didn't have to be anywhere other than at my house.
Until a close friend starts having some health issues and Cecilia starts realizing she could stand to drink a little less. She tries being sober, but it's not that easy. And her first attempt doesn't take.
You know, I was kind of hanging around the edges of recovery program and finally decided I was gonna, you know, finally had had enough with drinking. I was done. But I wasn't ready to give up the pot.
This is what she tells the people trying to help her become sober. And of course, they tell her it's kind of counterproductive.
And so after that, like, I just didn't tell anyone, you know, I would like go to meetings and then I would like go home and like get really high, or like I'd get really high and then go to meetings. But see, at that point, I was smoking so much that like that was really my baseline anyway. You couldn't really tell I was high, you know?
Eventually, she does stop drinking, but the drugs are still there, and it's just like playing with fire. Plus, she's starting to feel really guilty.
You know, I wasn't raised to be a dishonest person, and I was getting really close to people in sobriety, and so like it started just feeling less and less okay that I was just lying about this huge part of myself. And also I was still selling drugs during all of this. I was leading this huge double life. You know, so I finally got honest and gave that up too. And that was equally hard. I still remember like, and I guess this was about 3.5 years ago at this point, you know, like boxing up my paraphernalia, you know, and like sobbing inconsolably. Because I really felt like I was losing like my best friend.
That was your identity. That was who you were.
But this is still not the end.
So I'm like, you know, I gave that away. And then I even, for another like 6 months, I was still selling weed, even though I was completely clean and sober.
How difficult was that? Like, it's there, but you're not going to use it?
Oh my God, it was a terrible idea. Fortunately, I mean, there were a few things. One, I would just pre-portion it all and then vacuum seal it with one of those food savers. And two, I'd given away all like my paraphernalia, and I was a pretty bad stoner. Like, I could not roll a joint to save my life. You know, but of course I knew that that was only going to save me for so long.
After some time, Cecilia's friends in sobriety asked her to move in with them. And she said yes.
That was kind of my out, you know, like I knew I needed to stop, but I didn't really know how. That's all I knew.
But you can't sell drugs out of a sobriety house. I mean, you shouldn't, even more than perhaps normally. The thing is, though, that even though I use the words like end, finish, and over, the underlying temptations don't ever go away for Cecilia. Cecilia isn't drinking alcohol, isn't doing illegal drugs, isn't selling drugs. But some of the things that drove her to that in the first place, those things will always be there.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have that mechanism. Like, there is no just one. Like, I don't want to get buzzed. I want to get like off my face, you know?
It's that pickled cucumber idea all over again.
It's about a year ago where my boyfriend and I were out for dinner and I had ordered a cranberry seltzer and he'd gotten whatever he had gotten. And the bartender brings drinks out and like my drink looks a little funny and it smelled kind of weird. And I asked him to taste it and he's like, yeah, there's definitely alcohol in this. And then from that moment until she came back and we could ask her for a new drink, I just could not take my eyes off that glass. It was so weird. Like, I didn't even necessarily want to drink it. I just like even when we like he like moved it closer to him, like I was just like still like watching it out of the corner of my eye. It was intense.
I want to like understand what that's like. Is it the flavor and the taste, or is it remembering what it felt like to be drunk? Like, what is it for you that made it just someone had put a disco ball on your table?
You know, for me, remembering, like, because I could kind of smell it, like remembering that taste and that smell kind of triggered the memory of like what it felt like. I mean, because that's essentially why, at least when it came to alcohol, like that's why I drank, you know, I mean, because I liked how it made me feel. I guess I grew to appreciate various tastes and whatnot, but that was like a secondary benefit. The weird thing is that like, even though I didn't want it, like I couldn't look away from it.
Tough as it was, the point is that she did look away. She didn't drink the alcohol, and she had a good time without it. It's a win for that day. And there will be more the next day, and the next, and the next.
My life today is so, like, normal. It's normal, but it's not boring. You know, my life is so full today. I just feel like more of a complete person. I wake up, I go to work, I do like an 8:30 to 5, I come home, I have cat. But I'm actually really happy with that today. Like, I'm happy with like my normal life.
If you could say something to former Cecilia in the heyday of, let's say, the spiral, what would you say to her?
I think I would say that I would say you're worthy and you don't have to do all this crazy stuff just to feel special or to feel like you have to be interesting.
Yeah.
You know, like you're interesting just being you.
That you are enough. Who you are is enough.
You don't have to take on this crazy persona.
I love that. That's a hard lesson to learn.
I still have to relearn it every now and then.
You know more than anyone, it's a hard lesson.
Yeah.
Special thanks to my guest, Cecilia from Maryland, for being so open with us about who you are. For more info on anyone on the podcast or resources, if today's story resonated with you, check out whoweare.fm. If you'd like to be considered for the show yourself, go to whoweare.fm/stories. I'd also love to hear from you on Twitter at Carissa Weiser or other social media outlets listed on the site. Lastly, one of the best things you can do for the show is to leave a good review on iTunes. Simply go to itunes.whoweare.fm, also linked in the show notes, or easily on the iOS podcast app. This is a great way to help other people find the show. So thanks also to everyone who's reviewed so far, including DJ and K, Sarah H. Jiffy, Pear Baby, Katie the Lawyer in Training, good luck to you, by the way, and Han Solo Needed a Lawyer, especially since he shot first. Thanks so much for listening, and I'll see you on beautifulhello.com and the next look at who we are.